The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, November 21st, 2024. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, City Projects $6 Million Deficit by 2027 Fiscal Year. End to grocery tax, more, staffing among reasons cited. By Drew Zimmerman. Bloomington. Because of the loss of grocery tax revenue, a reduction in police and fire vacancies, and increased costs, the City of Bloomington is estimating to have a $6 million budget deficit heading into the 2027 fiscal year. Although the Normal Town Council narrowly voted to maintain a 1% grocery tax in September, replacing the one set to end by the state in 2026, Bloomington officials have decided not to maintain or increase that tax, which will have a dramatic impact on upcoming budgets. City Manager Jeff Juergens said the elimination of the grocery tax is expected to cause a $750,000 loss in revenue for Bloomington in fiscal 2026 and a roughly $3 million loss in revenue in fiscal 2027. Historically, Bloomington had also been anticipating about $2 million in savings from positions that had been budgeted for but not filled, such as first responders for police and fire. But after the city made changes to its hiring practices for these positions, it could face additional staffing costs of $2 million. Because of these factors, Juergens said the city is projecting a $3.75 million deficit for fiscal 2026 and a $6 million deficit for fiscal 2027. This doesn't include expenses for major projects like the new Connect Transit Station on Market Street and the new Public Works facility at the former Owen Nursery site. We are exploring a range of strategies to address the projected deficits while minimizing the impact on our residents and the essential services they rely on, Juergens said Wednesday. This includes reviewing operations, identifying efficiencies, and finding innovative ways to make our resources go further. Another financial issue is whether the city should raise its property tax levy to cover its growing police and fire pension obligations, which must be funded at 100% by 2040. Last year, the Bloomington City Council voted to maintain a flat property tax levy of roughly $22.3 million for the 2023 tax year. The decision came roughly a month after the council voted to more than double the city's water rates to help pay for roughly $400 million in infrastructure projects. Had the council approved the city's recommendation for a $23.4 million levy, an additional $1.1 million would have been split between the police and fire pensions. However, it still would have left the city about $1.9 million short of covering its annual payments without using over general fund revenues. During a special Bloomington City Council meeting on Monday, the council once again voted to move forward with a flat property tax levy by accepting a $22.3 million estimate for the 2024 tax year. Bloomington's pension contributions are roughly $14.7 million for fiscal 2025. Restricted revenues to cover these expenses total $11.7 million, leaving the city about $3 million short of fully funding pensions without additional revenue. We are making that up from other general fund revenues, such as sales taxes, etc., said Bloomington Finance Director Scott Rathbun. Staff recommended a roughly $26.3 million levy estimate based on a 1.066% property tax rate. This would allow an additional $4 million in property tax revenue to cover the pension shortfall. Under this tax rate, the owner of a home valued at $200,000 who experienced a 9% increase in equalized assessed value, which Juergens said was a fair estimate, would have paid an additional $113 for Bloomington's share of property taxes. We're committed to finding other cuts and other savings and not putting all this on the back of the taxpayers, Juergens said. The council denied the city's recommendation by a 4-5 vote, with Aldermen Nick Becker, Sheila Montney, John Dannenberger, Cody Hendricks, and Molly Ward voting no. Hendricks, who voted against the flat levy last year, said he has heard from many residents about the pressure of increased costs and would like to pay pensions out of the general fund to keep the levy flat, and would also like to explore more efficient budget options next year. A subsequent motion to approve a flat levy estimate passed 7-2, with council members Donna Bolin and Tom Crumpler voting no. A formal vote to approve the levy will take place in December. And here is another front page story headlined, Faculty Union Rallies on Campus. Mediator sought as talks reach ninth month. By Brendan Dennison. Normal. 9 months into negotiations for its first contract, the union that represents tenure and tenure-track faculty at Illinois State University is seeking a federal mediator's involvement. Roughly 200 union members and supporters brought the request directly to university administrators as part of a rally and march on the university quad on Wednesday. The union of about 650 tenure and tenure-track faculty was ratified in early January and entered bargaining sessions February 28th. Union representatives said they were marching to demand the university take seriously its responsibility to bargain in good faith, adding that the administration has not made any offers on salary, workload, or plans to improve student mental health. We've reached a point now where we're not talking about certain issues is making it really hard for our members, said Keith Ploymers, an associate professor of history who serves on the union bargaining committee. University administrators say it is customary to resolve major non-economic issues before discussing salary and benefit proposals. This approach is particularly important in negotiations to establish a first contract, when literally all terms and conditions of employment, including many that impact the university's shared governance approach, are being determined at the bargaining table, the university said in a statement provided to the Pantograph. In further statements on a website dedicated to negotiation updates, the university also noted that many bargaining topics are already addressed in existing ISU policy developed by or with input from and approval of the Academic Senate. The university said it did not consider itself at an impasse with the union, but had already agreed to consider the request for a federal mediator after the faculty union raised the issue during a negotiating session on Tuesday. An answer is expected before the next negotiating session, November 25th. In the statement, the university said both parties are actively engaged in negotiations on other important issues, which include grievance procedures and disability accommodations. The university also stated its interim vice president for finance and planning met October 30th with bargaining teams to share information and answer questions on ISU's fiscal and enrollment projects in the context of these negotiations. The parties have agreed on at least 23 topics, according to the university. Those subjects include academic freedom, discipline, facilities, health and safety, layoffs, legislative affairs, no strike, no lockout, program reorganization, promotions and evaluations, and shared governance. Standing in the cold. During the Wednesday rally, United faculty members entered Hovey Hall to hand deliver the request for a mediator to the university president's office. After emerging from the administrative building, Fusen Ackman, an ISU mathematics professor, told the rally that President Andover Tarhul wasn't available to receive their mediator request. "Ready or not, Mr. President, mediation is next," Ackman said, in leading rally chants. She then chanted that faculty teach classes and keep labs open, and it's not fair they're continuing their work without a contract. Ackman said the union will bargain for salaries and does not mind standing in the cold for as long as it takes. Before delivering the mediation request, union members and other rally attendees also joined chants that stated stagnant wages are outrageous, you can't build a legacy without union faculty, and gladly do we learn and teach, give us more than empty speech. Lead union negotiator Ashley Farmer, an associate professor of criminal justice sciences, also led chants. Farmer said, "Members are tired and overworked, and the university can afford the union's proposed contract. They claim their budget is trustworthy, but refuse to show their math," said Farmer. Open to talking. Plimers, the associate professor of history, who was among the bargaining team members, said at the rally that members came to the negotiations with a vision for a stronger, fairer ISU, a vision for supporting students. In an interview conducted before the rally, Plimers said, "It's not customary to resolve every single non-economic item before economic topics, and there's no rule prohibiting earlier discussion of economic items. Members have been patient in the negotiation process, but have grown frustrated," he said. "We're not putting conditions on economic articles, and they shouldn't either. We're open to talking about anything," Plimers said. He said the union's bargaining team's position has been to work hard to find common ground with the university's administration, and in that spirit, the union proposed a contract at the first bargaining session. Unresolved issues listed by Plimers included workload, parental and sabbatical leave, student access to mental health resources, and compensation. He said the compensation they've asked for will ensure the university can attract and retain high-quality faculty who make ISU a great institution. "We are seeking to be paid fairly along with our peers in the state and at other institutions," he said, adding that the union has tried to address pay inversion and salary compression, too. The bargaining team member said he could not get into granular details of the union offer, including proposed pay rates, but said the proposed workload policy request would ensure faculty can dedicate time for instruction. He also said their proposal provides resources to students, like independent studies. Plimers said those are one-on-one courses with singular students on a special interest topic that wouldn't otherwise be offered as a class. "Part of the research I ended up with, the research specialty I had, is because one of my own undergraduate mentors did an independent study with me," Plimers said. Plummer said the union's sincerest hope is ISU will respond with a fair and reasonable proposal on outstanding issues. He said they've raised the issue, which has gone unaddressed, as the union wants to ensure students get the education they deserve. We think now is the time to talk about this, Plummer said. On non-economic agreements, he said ISU reached a memorandum of understanding to install locks on campus doors. It is truly a tragedy that everyone working in education these days needs to think about the possibility of things like school shootings, but we do, Plummer said. It is not just an issue for our members, but every single part of the campus community. Additional bargaining sessions are set for November 25th, December 4th, 11th, and 18th. The next local story is entitled Heartland Community College $37 million property tax levy planned with 10.49% hike by Matus Janik. Normal. Heartland Community College expects to increase its property tax levy by about 10.49% from last year, and residents would see a slight increase in their property tax bills. Heartland plans to seek over $37 million from property taxes for its 2024 levy, which is a $3 million increase over the 2023 levy. The 2024 levy for taxes payable in 2025 is expected to translate to a tax rate of $0.58393 per $100 equalized assessed valuation, an increase of approximately $0.00176 per $100 EAV from last year. The 2024 estimated rate would mean Heartland's share of taxes on a $200,000 house, assuming no change in the house's taxable value, would be about $389.29, an increase of $1.55 from 2023 taxes payable in 2024. Noah Lamb, Vice President for Finance and Administration, said that with every year, the college has requested more than it thinks it will receive from the property tax levy. There are limiting factors such as the district's as yet undetermined equalized assessed value, the total taxable value of property in the district, and the legal maximums on tax rates for its various funds. The board adopted an equity tax resolution in October, which allows Heartland to levy additional money to bring it in line with other community college districts throughout the state. Lamb said the equity tax is projected to yield approximately $3.4 million in unrestricted funds for fiscal 2026, but that estimate is based on the current year's equity tax revenue. The board voted on Tuesday only to set an estimated levy. The final approval will come after a December 17th public hearing on the levy proposal, which is required by law because the increase from the previous year's levy is over 5%. The board also accepted the filing of the 2024 audit, which was conducted by Whipfly LLP of Sterling. The majority of the audit was clean and unmodified, aside from three areas, which included two findings related to financial reporting and one finding related to federal financing. Lamb said the findings mainly related to procedural aspects of the college's financial reporting and dates related to student verification with federal financial aid. I wasn't concerned with the fact that we had findings, Lamb said. It's one of those things where we can see that our audit partners are doing their jobs and they are going to look through so many things. In other business, the board approved the second phase of science lab renovations for $4,578,200. A large portion of the renovations includes the installation of 14 new fume hoods, as well as updates to the flooring, paint, lighting, and audiovisual equipment. Cabinetry will be replaced as needed to meet accessibility standards, and lab equipment will be expanded or replaced. Some of the cabinetry will be reused wherever possible to reduce costs, while aged furniture in the labs will be replaced. The renovations are set to be completed during summer 2025. Just before the board adjourned, Chair Becky Ropp acknowledged and honored Board Trustee Jeffrey Flessner, who announced earlier this week that he will be leaving the board. Flessner, who was first elected to the board in 2013, announced he will resign from the board effective December 1st to spend more time with his family. His six-year term expires in April 2025. "It's been a really growing experience," Flessner said. "I've seen a lot of changes, and it's been a good experience for me." The board has 60 days from December 1st to make an appointment to fill the seat for the remainder of the term. Flessner's vacant seat is one of three six-year term positions up for election on April 1st, 2025. The appointee chosen to fill Flessner's vacant seat will serve until a new trustee is elected and sworn in. Here's a local story headlined, "Fire Closes Busy Corner. Popular Restaurant to Rebuild, Still Sell Thanksgiving Pies," by Robin Gauchy Skaggs. Goodfield. The Busy Corner Restaurant at 302 South Eureka Street in Goodfield has announced it will remain closed into the new year following a fire last week, but it still plans to make and sell pies for Thanksgiving. "We're still navigating the rebuild process and working through insurance, and unfortunately, it's looking like we won't be able to welcome you back into the building until after the new year," the restaurant stated in a post on its Facebook page. The Eureka Goodfield Fire Department had responded to the fire at 3:55 a.m. Wednesday, November 13th. The incident is under investigation by the Illinois Office of the State Fire Marshal, Woodford County's Sheriff Department, and the Eureka Fire Department. Thankfully, no staff was there at this time. The fire was quickly contained by local firefighters, but the restaurant sustained damages that will require immediate attention, Busy Corner said on its Facebook page the day of the fire. The restaurant later shared that it would still be able to make pies ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday. Pies will be available on a first-come, first-served basis on Wednesday, November 27th, the restaurant said, with no pre-orders available. Pies will be available for pickup from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. or until they run out of pies at Busy Corner's previous location at 210 East Peoria Street, across from the Shell station in Goodfield. In the meantime, a fund has been set up at Goodfield State Bank to support Busy Corner's 95 employees affected by the closure. A GoFundMe page has also been set up, with funds being directed to the Goodfield State Bank account. As of Tuesday afternoon, the GoFundMe had raised about $3,300. "These contributions will go directly to our servers, who are facing a sudden and unexpected loss of income due to the restaurant closure," Busy Corner said on its Facebook page. The post continued, "We are incredibly grateful for our customers and this amazing community for thinking of and supporting our hardworking team during this upheaval. Thank you for showing your care and compassion for those who make Busy Corner so special. Here's a story headlined, McLean County HCE Awards Scholarships. Bloomington. The McLean County Association for Home and Community Education has announced its scholarship recipients. Three McLean County 4-H members were honored at the 106th annual meeting on July 9th. The scholarships are awarded to McLean County 4-H members who meet the requirements, including exhibiting a 4-H project in one or more of the home and family or food, nutrition, and health areas during the 2023-24 4-H Fair, and three other years in their 4-H career. This year's recipients are Sophie Clement, Caleb Vogel, and Ojas Shah. Clement is the daughter of Scott and Margaret Clement of Normal. She is a 10-year member of the Tawanda 4-H Club and a student at Iowa State University, where she is studying mechanical engineering. Vogel is the son of Carrie and Scott Vogel of Tawanda. He is also a 10-year member of the Tawanda 4-H Club and is attending the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana, where he is working toward a hospitality management degree. Shah is the son of Devang and Rupa Shah of Bloomington. He is an 8-year member of Silverleaf Let's Go Ag. He is studying mechanical engineering at the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana. And here's an item entitled, Santa to Share Sweet Treats at Miller Park Candy Cane Drop. Bloomington. Santa will be grabbing a lift with Bloomington's Parks and Recreation Department on Saturday, December 7th, to drop candy canes at Miller Park. Santa will ride a boom lift and drop the candied treats for kids to pick up around 10 a.m. December 7th at the Miller Park Pavilion in Miller Park, 1020 South Morris Avenue, according to an announcement from the Parks Department. Jill Eicholtz, Program Manager for Bloomington's Parks and Recreation Department, said the event is always a fun holiday experience. She noted, the all-outdoor program fills up fast, and participants must register in advance at bloomingtonparks.org. Children must be accompanied by parents or guardians through the entire event. Participants will also have a chance to visit Santa after the candy cane drop. The registration fee is $12. For questions, call 309-434-2260. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for November 21st. Please stay tuned.